God, thank you for today. Thank you for Seth and his heart to lead us in worship every Sunday. It's just a huge blessing. Really helps set the stage for opening up your word and really just being fed and being encouraged and challenged. And that's just what we ask, God, that as we open up your word today, would you inspire us? Holy Spirit, would you enlighten us? Show us something new that you have in store for us. We always want to leave church. We always want to leave these times that we have with you better than we were yesterday. So we ask that you work in our lives, in our situations, in our circumstances. And may this just be a good time where together as a body of believers, that'll just be sweet just to worship together and to learn more about your word. So we give this time to you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So yeah, last night we had a lot going on, and we were just able just to really just kind of shove in like 10 minutes to go to this trunk or treat thing because we wanted to, I mean, we've never been to it before. And we wanted to kind of see what it was about and see how we could do tonight better if they had some pointers. And so we're in there. It's a mob of people, which is great. It was super fun to see the neighborhood just packed out. In fact, they did glow-in-the-dark golf for the 18-hole course that meets at Bel Air. So you would see these like white glow-in-the-dark balls like soar into the sky. And you're like, that is really cool. Slash dangerous, but really cool. And they had like glow necklaces on all the golfers, and then they kind of lined the course a little bit with lights and stuff like that. I thought that would be super fun if I was a good golfer. I would probably hit the mob of kids that are trying to get in between trunk or treating and stuff, so be a casualty on that. But so we weren't dressed, we weren't anything. I was like, well, let's just see if we can get some candy for the kids. And so we hopped out, and Brittany's like, what's our story? Like, we're not dressed as anything. I said, we're dressed as probably the scariest people out there. We're the nucleus family that's conservative. And so if anyone ever asked who we were, that's what it was going to be. And I just could have assumed all the scary costume, right? Like, you're here to destroy. It's funny politically, all right? If you don't get it or if you're tired of it, I understand. But it's really funny, in my opinion. The nucleus family, husband, wife, kids. That's a scary, scary thing. No one asked, so, and we just got candy. So it was kind of, it was a fun evening. It was a quick in and out, and I told them, I was like, tonight we're going to really go all out, so I'm sure my kids will get plenty of candy. And then tomorrow night, my goodness, back to back to back to back, lots of candy. There's a Psalms for that, which isn't for Easter or for Halloween candy, but there's a Psalms for that as a series where we're just going to kind of take little standalones and just go from there. Last week we talked about how to be a happy Christian, and it's really, there's a Psalms for that. And so we opened up with Psalms chapter 1, and we talked about what it means to be blessed. The word really does mean happy, and to find your happiness in Christ and in his law and in his word and in his truth and in his promises. So today we're going to talk about, and this could bleed over into next week because it's kind of a heavier topic, and it's a bigger Psalms. But the thing that kind of just brought me into this was just like, what's my purpose? I feel like we can get kind of lost a little bit in our culture right now. You feel maybe split in so many different directions at work, at home, in your friend groups. It just seems like every day, it just seems like it's always changing. When it's really not, the truth is always there. Relationships are always needed. People are always looking for answers. That's been the lifelong truth of the time of humanity. But it does get kind of scary in the 21st century when technology is advancing as fast as it is, and every day does feel like it's changing. And even in the political climate, it just feels like all over the place. And so I think we can get kind of stirred a little bit and wonder, what is my purpose? Like, if I say this, then I'm going to get in trouble for saying this by my peer group or my friend group or my coworkers. If I don't say this, then I'm going to get hounded by those who say, if you're silent, that's an answer, right? There's like it's always a lose-lose, and you always feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. So I thought maybe some of us are stirring with this question of like, what is my purpose? Well, there's a Psalms for that. And we're going to go all the way in the back of the Psalms, which is funny because we were at Psalms 1 yesterday. But we're going to go all the way to Psalms 139 today. And we're going to kind of find a lot of those truths to answer that question. I'm going to kind of lay the foundations to it. It's going to be a little more theologically heavy, but this is going to be good for us to just wrestle with, to rest in, to contemplate, because I'm going to give you like two sentences and it's going to be packed full. And I'm not going to unpack all of it because you'll get bored of my geeking out. But I appreciate how far we've come as a church through the history of the Christian church, that we're able to narrow down really big concepts into like bite size. But these are good for us to like think about and contemplate and wrestle with and let this kind of wash over you. The purpose that I found a lot of theologians kind of come to, it's quick. It's in just a quick line, but it does really get you kind of stirring a little bit. Humans are made by God for God. All right, just that sentence alone, it's a lot. It's heavy. Because you go all the way back to Genesis. You go to Genesis 1. You see the creation of the universe. You see the creation of our world. You see the creation all the way of the animals to the intrinsic, finite, valuable human. And you see Adam and Eve. You see this wonderful relationship that they have with God. You see these things. And all of a sudden, in that small snippet, a lot happens in Genesis 1, right? Like, everything happens. And now we come up with like a quick way to like understand it, that we were created by God for God. And so we're talking about creation at its core with Adam and Eve, but more than that, you and I have been created by God. Yes, it's mom and dad. Yes, it's great great grandparents. Yes, it's great 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 grandparents. They had to do things in order to make all that happen, but still we have that intrinsic worth and value because God purposely created you for 2022. There's not a mistake. You're not, you know, you're like, I wish I was born in the 60s. No, right? You were made for today. And that right there solidifies a purpose. Because if we see value in our Creator, that He purposely created us today, all of a sudden our purpose kind of starts to have some clarity. Okay, right. I'm here. This is the exact date, the exact time, the exact place that God has me. You're a grafted church or a church plant, maybe wondering why you're here. God put you here for a reason, right? You're here on purpose. There's a purpose behind it. We might laugh in 2 years about it all, or we might cry. I can't predict that future yet. I'm hoping it's laughing. So there's that like really big, clear picture of purpose that you are here for a reason. And then you get to understand that through that season, your purpose has brought you to a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's amazing. That's incredible. So not only are humans made by God for God, you can also conclude that our purpose then is to find God. And I'm just a blanket statement. I'm guessing the majority of us have found God. That's why we're here today as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why during your week, you're wrestling with your flesh and spirit. You're wanting to show Jesus to other people. You're still working on insecurities and inside stuff. You're still growing as a Christ follower. You're still doing all those things. And so we kind of see a makeup really quickly on two sentences that talk about our purpose as people, as humans. We're made by God for God. Therefore, our purpose is to find God. So we'll just say that we've all found Him. We all have a relationship with Him. Now the greatest part comes. What is my purpose now? Right? Because prior to knowing Jesus, your purpose in life had to have been different. To some degree, to a lot of degree, that's just our story. But when Jesus has entered into your life, He's created you anew. You're a new person. And so now it's like trying to discover, okay, what's my purpose now as a new person, as a new Christian, as a new believer, right? the most confusing conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus and John was that you're born again. And he wrestled with that concept of like, I can't go back into my mom's womb, right? Like he was thinking as a literalist, like this is literally what you're saying is that I have to be born again. It doesn't make sense. And Jesus probably laughed and said, he laughed and said, no, that's not, we're talking about your spirit. Your spirit is new. You're born again. And so we have to think of our Christian life. When you think back when you accepted Christ, think about that real quick. I was young. I was 8. So you can kind of think back in your time frame too. At that moment when Christ invaded your life, you have been born new. You are no longer your prior self. And so now you get to try and figure out what's my purpose now as a Christ follower. And how do I blend that into my like everyday life? Like, because we're still living here, but our citizenship is not American, it's heaven bound, right? Where we know people who don't know Jesus and they're very much so attached to that. Our citizenship is now with Christ in heaven. So our purpose has changed from the horizontal life to living a vertical life. Where now everything that we do is always trying to get it centered and focused on the things above versus the things below. See what I mean? Like in just 2 sentences, there's a decent amount to unpack when we're talking kind of about this topic about what is my purpose. Now, C.S. Lewis is just my favorite. I love everything about him that he can write. Chronicles of Narnia that takes your imagination on a whole different level. And then he can write a book called The Problem with Pain. And it's incredibly depressing. It's very difficult read because you're like, who is this man? I just read some fascinating thing in the Chronicles of Narnia that I read this book. And he contemplates a lot of hard issues. And I commend him because that takes kind of both sides of your brain to be able to write such a creative series and then go into like theological hard truths. And these are 2 things that he pulled from that book, The Problem with Pain. I think that's the right title. But these are 2 of the quotes when it comes to talking about purpose. A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. There's a lot in that, of course, and I'm not going to be able to really unfold everything that C.S. Lewis means in that. But when we're talking about purpose, we're talking about no matter what our purpose is here on life, God ultimately has the plan. He ultimately has the course of life. He ultimately has everything in control. His sovereign will is being accomplished and will continue to be accomplished long after you and I are on this earth. So we can look all the way back in the history of humanity and we can see how God has brought it to where it's at today. And so whether we worship God and acknowledge his glory or not, he will continue to do it his way. He will continue to move history in the ways that he wants to. He will continue to reveal himself as time moves on. And that's where we're at. We're at the already not yet, right? Jesus has come, and now we're waiting for him to come back. So we're in this in-between stage where revelation is yet to happen. So another one by C.S. Lewis in that same book says, you will certainly carry out God's purpose however you act, but it makes a difference to you whether you serve like Judas or like John. And there's that real good divide from the world to heaven, right? John served with the vertical in mind. Judas served for himself. He was able to get money for turning Jesus in, and we see that betrayal happen. And then we see John, who ultimately gives his life to martyrdom at the end of his life here on earth for Jesus. So there's this idea that you will carry out God's purpose, figure out which way you want to go. It's a couple of deep quotes, like I was saying. There's a lot to unpack in it, and it doesn't get any lighter, but I am trying my best to give you kind of one sentences to all of it. If we can acknowledge the purposes and meaning of life through the lens of the gospel, we can really come to understand God's character. And the more we understand God's character, the more we find comfort, truth, peace, love, all those things, which really helps our purpose become clearer here on earth. It just makes everything more easier to manage. It makes the heaviness of life become lighter because you're dependent on Him versus on what you can do. Because that's what we try and do, right? We try to pull up our bootstraps. We try to conquer the day. We try to allow the will that we have, the willpower that we have to overcome obstacles. But the more we rest and rely on God, the less we feel that stress and that I have to do this, I have to accomplish something, I have to prove something, the more it becomes like, God, take this from me because I can't do this. And you start to really see your attitude change, your outlook on life change. There becomes kind of this sense to other people that sometimes doesn't make sense to them because they're like, how are you so calm in this season? You know, I've had difficult conversations with people who kind of disagreed with church plant and the direction of church plant and face-to-face conversations that I probably would not want to have. But I signed up for it, so I'm game for it. And I thank God that after those conversations, you then replay it back and you think, I could have said all these things, right? And I could have really, you know, or whatever, or it doesn't matter. But like you do sometimes have that, like when you're driving in the car and you're like, I should have said that. Seinfeld is super funny because George Costanza has a moment where he's in the office with a group of guys and they're ragging on him. And he has nothing to say. He mumbles and they're like, and they make fun of him even more. And as he's driving away, he thinks of a good like comeback. So he turns around and goes back and just ruins the whole moment. It's very funny. And that doesn't help you because if you don't watch Seinfeld, you won't understand it. But I super digress. I say all that because when we start to find purpose in God, it helps alleviate a lot of the real life, real hard struggles that we're trying to carry on our own. When we find purpose in Him, we're able to really lean on Him. So the three O's, these are theological concepts that people write thousands of pages on. So to give you a quick blurb in two sentences, it's helpful, but it's also going to kind of mess with you because it's like, how can you fathom this? And here's why I rest in it. God is infinite and I am not. I am finite. God is all-knowing. I am not. I am limited. It doesn't matter if I have a library of books and I can read all of them in this lifetime. I will always feel limited. Taking master's courses right now at Phoenix Seminary, I am finding out that I know less, even though I have taken 2.5 years of master's classes now. And here's why. They open up a world of theology, topics, church history, all of those things would take me a lifetime to read, understand, acknowledge, comprehend. And we're talking about like, I mean, it's a big subject, but there's so many other things to learn. And so that's what leads people on when you do think about it, and I'll never do this. Yeah, I think I could say never. I know a lot of people say never, but when I'm done, like I'm done. But I do see how a lot of people have 2 to 3 master's degrees, a couple doctorate degrees, because you just start learning. You're like, there's a vast amount of information to learn. And people kind of get hooked on that. I want to quit now. So maybe that's a good sign that I'm not going to be that person, but who knows? So I want to talk about the three O's because this really helps encompass and it really gets us to kind of understand God and some characteristics about Him. And then it does help us understand that, okay, our purpose is lined up with who God is. And that kind of helps give clarity. Again, we're talking about big topic, your purpose in life. And so we're going to kind of compound that with some really heavy stuff on theology. His omnipresence. Okay, so this is a big topic. It talks about that God is everywhere at the same time. And I can't find like worldly examples to help like tie the two together. I always will try And so you can either say, that was a stretch, or you could say, that kind of makes sense. The only thing that I can really find to help make sense is that I think of, when you think of the radio and you turn the radio on in your car, how does your car receive the radio? How does your car project music that you're driving at and it's not plugged into it? You know, like you're not, that'd be really funny. All the cars are plugged into something and, but you're not plugged into anything, right? How does your car get music? You have like your little antenna, right? We're always wondering what that little thing is doing. And it's picking up, right? A signal. And what is it picking up, though, ultimately? What's that called? Radio waves? Waves? Right? So if you can kind of project on, if you could put goggles on, you could see, you can't, if you could, you would see these waves that run through, and that's where you get your radio. And then when you think about internet, you see the big tall towers, and you see the little round things on it, and that's projecting waves and frequencies that go to your house, to your cell phones that aren't plugged into the wall, right? And so me here in Phoenix, Arizona, to me in China, you can have a phone call conversation with no plug-in, no nothing, and it's all connected through this whole network around our world that projects these waves and these frequencies and stuff like that. So it's kind of everywhere and at the same time. You could say it's a stretch or not, right? But that's kind of my example of describing God's omnipresence, is that he is everywhere simultaneously. So I'm worshiping God right now, and say it's 3 a.m. in China in the underground church, and they're worshiping God too. God is hearing me. He's hearing my pleas. He's hearing my supplications. He's hearing my burdens. And he is hearing, you know, the guy in China. I was almost going to say a name, but that could be not good for recording. He's hearing their plea, their burden, their heart, their passion. So he's not going, hold on, Craig, dialed into this continent right now. He, all at the same time, is everywhere. That's where the Holy Spirit really brings that unity. That's why we are together here, because we want to see God move in the North Valley. But this, but what's really cool is that when you go on mission trips to Africa, to Mexico, to different parts of the world, and you meet people, and even though there's a language barrier, you feel a connection. You feel like there's something there. And I can almost always say that that's that unity of the Spirit, where you feel like connected to this person, yet you can't talk to them. So let's wrap our heads around that for a little bit, and then we'll move on to omniscience. Omniscience means that God is all-knowing. His knowledge is not limited. Okay, so we're talking about an infinite being. God's never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. So to comprehend that, good luck, because we've all had a beginning. But here's what's wild, is that we don't have an end. Like, yeah, our bodies will die. That's 100% fact. But we live on beyond this time. We live on beyond this time. So we can kind of grasp that concept a little bit. God is all-knowing. His knowledge is not limited. So he's not up there reading a new book thinking, wow, this is good for me. Like when I read a new book on theology, I'm like, that has just opened up a new door, or that has encouraged me or strengthened me. That doesn't happen. God isn't opening up a new book and finding something new that he's like, interesting. He's always known. He's always known. Wrestle with that. Okay? It's good to know that God is all-knowing. Because the opposite of that cannot be God. If God is limited and we somehow have better resources than him, or we come up with an idea that he was like, wait, what? Cell phones? Right? Wouldn't that be funny? You know, traveling back in time like 200 years and having a cell phone, and I think you'd probably be burned at the stakes. Right? Because it's like, what magical power is that? And you're like, it's everywhere. And they're like, what? God has always known and will always know. So his resources are unlimited. And we can rest in that. I think that's really good for us to find hope in. As hard as it is to understand it and comprehend it, it's good to rest in it. So it's omniscience. God is all-knowing. His knowledge is not limited. Think of what's the first place you go to when you have a question? You're like, man, I really want to know who has the longest toenails in this world, right? My son is like super into Guinness World Records. He doesn't like the book anymore because the pictures are creepy, and I don't blame him. But you Google, right? Where is this? What temperature is it outside? What is this? And instantly you get a response back. I find that amazing because as technology advances, these computers become incredibly smart. Now, these computers aren't becoming smart upon themselves. I don't put a computer out in the desert and then 10 years later I come in and it's a mega computer and it's like, I've learned everything, Craig. It just rots and burns and gets fried, right? It takes humans to input, to give code, to do all those things for the computer to advance in its technological state. But what we can't say about the computer today, it's incredibly smart. It's so fast. How quickly Google can come up with the answer to the most random question, doesn't judge you a bit. It's not like, really, Craig, what? Funny story. When you know how you're going to Google and it shows you like the latest search? So we were on, I'll have to do this multiple times because it's such a funny story. I was on the way to church one day and the radio station, hello, they were laughing about like, you should just hop on your friend's phone or your wife's phone or your husband's phone and just look at like what's the last thing they search for. And I was like, okay, I'll do that to Brittany because I'm always curious what goes inside of her head. And sure enough, I come home, I hop onto her phone, and the last search was how to get my Achilles to show. And I thought, wait, that couldn't have been her recent search. So I had to go ask her because when you type in Google and it brings up a thing, now you're wondering, did she really type that in? Like, that's the most random thing. And so she's like, yeah, the other day I was looking at you in sandals and your Achilles tendon shows. And she's like, mine doesn't. And sure enough, it's like, it's flat. You know, there's nothing there. And I'm like, that's weird. And she Googled like, why that is. And it was like the best moment to like respond to a Google search for that. So if we can kind of grasp like Google and we can understand that the computer is incredibly smart and sophisticated for our time and that it's only going to advance as we continue, it's really not that far-fetched to think, okay, if us as humans have been able to input knowledge over time into a system that can respond so quickly with all the answers, right? You know, you'd think it has all the answers. I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that God, he's already beyond that. He's already beyond that. 200 years ago, that might have been like a harder thing to try and like grasp and comprehend. But in today's technology and to see how smart and advanced these things are, it's kind of easy for me to see that God is in fact all-knowing because we're working on it. I mean, we're with these systems. It's kind of scary how we're at that point in our progression. His omnipotence means that God is in total control of himself in his creation. He is all powerful. How did God create the universe in Genesis 1? Did he have, you know, 13 kilo, billion, kajillion tons of earth and mud and rock at his display? And he just kind of puttied it together and he formed all these things and stuff like that? Because that would take some hard work, you know, because you're digging, you're molding, you're shaping, you're putting stuff together, and you'd think, wow, that would take someone a lot of time to like put all that together. That would be like really strong and really powerful of someone to be able to do that. What's more powerful than thinking of someone who created a Play-Doh set that brought it to life versus someone who just spoke and everything came into existence? Oh. You want to talk about power and powerful and correct and fine-tuned and how everything is aligned in such a way that we've been able to exist here for thousands of years now. It blows my mind. I can't
fathom the power, the infinite power that God has.
There's an encouragement and a humility to it. The humility is, okay, that's a lot of power. And he could, in a blink of an eye, just wipe us out of existence. And it's healthy for us to read Noah's story to be reminded that God, in his sovereignty, saw humanity going off the deep end and said, with Noah and your family, I'm going to have a new start. And he floods the entire earth. I mean, boom, how powerful is that? He floods the entire earth and starts over with Noah and his family. That's powerful. But what's even more powerful is you look upon the Milky Galaxy, the Milky Way, the galaxies. You see the satellites, the images that are being launched by NASA. And you're seeing the birth of stars. You're seeing all these different planets. You get like those little scales of like the Earth, which is like this small. And the sun's like this big. And then they have these massive giant dwarfs, these huge stars that just would consume all of us, and then some. And you just think that is just powerful. Powerful. So the omnipotence shows that God is in total control of himself and his creation. So this is going to help us move into our Psalms. It was a lot, but I do feel like it gives clarity now to David's psalm, because this Psalms, which we'll take next week to go through the next half of it, it is such a good psalm. Here's the thing, like David had no cell phone, no telescope, no Google. He had a staff and sheep. He had a place to lay his head on, which was the grass. So if you want to talk about rule and completely stricken of all things, and then you read this psalm, it has to mess with you, because how did this man come up with this amazing psalm, this amazing discovery on God's attributes that you and I now have a one word for it, a one sentence for it? David just got it here. Of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit in him in illuminating the scripture to us. But it still is amazing to read David's words in the psalm. So Psalms 139, the first six verses, you could read it behind me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Right? We can't. What you just heard me go through is hundreds of years of theologians debating, arguing, and fine-tuning the three O's of God's character. And we got to kind of see that, and I think all of our minds feel like they're a little bit blown away. And in here, even David is saying, it's just too much for me. I can't attain it. I can't even grasp it. The first verse is really good because it shows a part of David that is good for us to acknowledge. That God searches and he knows us. And that's good, because even when you think that the person next to you doesn't know you, even when you think your best friend or your wife or your spouse or your partner or your cohort that thinks that they know you really well, they just still don't know all of you. And God has searched you and he knows you. And I think it's good for us to acknowledge that, because we could put a face on We could act like this is all good. Everything's going well. We can even trick our best friends, our spouses, who think, oh, I thought everything was okay. Because you looked okay. You said you were okay. You didn't tell me that you were not okay. And we could look at some of the most ugliest moments in our lives, when people left us, when we felt betrayed, when we felt like trust was broken, when we felt just ugly, when we felt like our spirit was just like of no good use to the kingdom, when we just feel like absolutely just ugh. And isn't it so good to know that God already knew you? He already has searched you. He already understands you, even at your lowest, most ugliest state. I mean, that blows me away, because we want to be our best self for God, but He already knows that we can't be that. We can't be that on our own. And as much as we try to trick people, and as much as we try to post the happy pictures on social media, in the inside when we're just bleeding, God knows that. And that's the best part, is that He's not leaving us dry. He's not like, oh, well, you stink, I'm moving on. That's all of us. That's me. That's you. That's the next pastor next door. We are broken humans in desperate need of Christ and His redeeming love and mercy. And so David acknowledges that really quickly. You search me and you've known me. Did you catch that? Known. Yes, He knows you, but He has also known you. Blow your mind away with that one. So he goes kind of into detail, like how much God knows you. He knows when you stand up. He knows when you sit down. He discerns your thoughts from afar. So this little thing that no one can see, if we were to project it on a projector right now, you'd all probably run away from me. But you would too, and I would too. He already discerns your thoughts. You search out my path, my lying down. You know all my ways, right? He knew that was going to happen. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy? Not just like my walking path, but He knows your life path. He knows that Craig, when he was in college, was going to go to Arizona State University and not graduate from there. He knew that. I had no idea. That was my path. My path was to go to construction and get into the construction world. Your path could have been very similar, where you went to school thinking it was going to be this way, and all of a sudden, that way. You thought you were going to be on a career for this, or on a path for this, or dating that person, or being married here, or doing that, or having kids, or whatever it may be. And I think, like, our plans, even though it's healthy to set goals and stuff like that, I think God just kind of laughs at that, because He's like, if you would just rest in me, and the purpose I have for you is to find me, your paths will start to become clear. And they're black for us. Can we just pause? As my degree stopped at Arizona State University, let me tell you, it was not a pretty. Hallelujah. It was like, wow, 3 years of tuition just gone. It wasn't like a path was like bright. It was like, I want you to do youth ministry. I had the biggest fear of public speaking. So I was like, that's a joke. And I just never saw myself to be a communicator. Never. It was as dark as I think I have ever taken that step into. So when I tell you that when you find purpose in God and you acknowledge Him in that, if He makes that path clear, kudos to you and high five, and I'd punch you if I was 19 years old. Because it was not that way for me. It was super dark, and I just took that step of faith. And I would never change it for the world today, but at that time in that season, I want to be honest with you guys, it was a very hard
season.
It's good to hear David say, "You search my path. You have it all figured out for me." And he goes even further than just knowing the path and direction of our lives. Even before a word is on my tongue, you already know it. Blah, blah, blah. Right? Like he knew that was going to happen. Isn't that crazy? I just think that's funny. Like, we're going to go in heaven, and unfortunately, he's going to review probably a lot of bad things I've said. But we'll talk about some of the funny things, and maybe we'll high five over those. He already knows what you're going to say. There's nothing you're going to trick him about. There's humility in that, because we probably look back and we think, wow, I do regret saying a lot of things to God. Right? God wants us to have that honest, authentic, real relationship where we do express our feelings, and sometimes it comes out as hateful and just kind of smothered in anger and rage. But yet he can handle that. It's not because he's like, whoa, Morgan, I didn't expect you to. He already knew that that was going to be said. And he still loves you the same. And he still yearns and desires a relationship with us. I mean, that just gives me goosebumps. He already knows what you're going to say. And we say a lot of things too, right? Rarely do we listen. And he's the one who's saying you should listen a lot and be slow to speak. Because he already knows what we're going to say, but have we listened? Then he talks about this really cool creation of how he's hemmed in behind and before. You've just taken care of all of this, and it's so much that I'm just going to stop writing. I'm just going to say it's just too wonderful. It's too hard. This knowledge is just so uncomprehensible. I can't attain it. And guess what he does? Like, he writes like 12 more verses. And we're not even going to get there, because I think it's just good to take these in sections, because it is a lot. Because David's like, psych, and then he goes on to write more. And you're like, boom, whoa, you blew me away with that. I think what's good for us is, as we talk about our purpose, is that now we're trying to figure out, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm a new creation. Now God's gifted you for being kingdom minded. He's gifted us now for thinking about the vertical life that now we should be pursuing against the grain of the life we still do have to live. We still live in the world. We still have the opportunity to impact the world for the better. So now it's about how do we align those two, that it's healthy and it makes sense and I'm progressing in my faith, but yeah, I'm being challenged, and yeah, I'm still able to love my neighbors and not judge them. And like, it becomes this like really difficult balance. As we figure out that purpose is that God created everything, including us, that he created us for him and that we found him. Now it's about, okay, God, what am I doing now? And so we acknowledge the big three O's. We acknowledge how big he is, and yet how intimate and how close-knit he wants to be with us. So intimate, he knows when you sit up and when you sit down. He knows what you're about to say before you say it. That shows of a very personal God. Not a God who's far off doing his own thing, and then he turns around and is like, oh, the earth? I forgot I created you. Right? Because sometimes we feel that way. We're like, it's chaos down here. But yet he has it all under his control. And that's amazing. So when we rest in that, I think it helps us be able to find that purpose, and also to be able to balance it with, okay, how do I continue to live here in my circumstances and yet find God in my everyday? David did that. And we're going to read that next week. How he, in his purpose, in his life as a shepherd, he found that. And we're talking about a shepherd, right? It's not super attractive of a job. So let's pray, and we look forward to next week and tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge.
you're big. You're bigger than what we give credit to. I feel like if we can put you in a box and we can manipulate, we would do that really quickly. And some religions do that. Even some people do that. They open up this tab and they're like, oh, God is this. And it's like, really? God is infinite. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. At the same time, he is present with me as he is with the millions of others at the same time. It's not like he's putting me on hold or pause or replaying my conversation. He's hearing me. He's hearing my faith. And at the same time, he's hearing yours. He's hearing around the world. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. That's the God we serve. So that humbles us because we think, well, I am really nothing. But it also should encourage us because we are everything to him. That we have this intimate relationship that he offers us, that he has this moment with us where he knows when we stand, when we sit, when we talk. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you, God, that in your grand scheme, that you are ultimately in control of our lives, that you have carved a path for us, and you just ask us to be faithful and to walk and to step out in real faith. It's hard. I can attest for that. Many people in this room can. But I would never change it for anything. So God, encourage us, inspire us, let us find our purpose. It's in you, and that now you've gifted us with the tools to impact the world for your glory. Yes, to make a living, because we do want that, but that is not the ultimate goal. That's not the ultimate dream. That's not the destination. That's just means right now. The goal is to glorify you and to find you in the everyday. We ask for tonight for safety. We ask for just a great turnout. We ask for the impact to be made. It's a small impact. It's a fun event. But we do want to also show the community that we're a safe place, that we love Jesus, and we're not too crazy. And so, God, we ask that you bring the right people here and have the right conversations and just provide safety for the kids and families that come tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.